I'm sorry, VeggieTales, excuse me. So that's what we call the Bob the Tomato. And so yes, poor Lorenzo gets confused by these things. It's okay. Yes, there were all kinds of little glitches. All kinds of little glitches this morning. Some of them are technology related. We're here on the way. I texted Pastor Bob and I'm sorry, I had, my wife texted Pastor Bob and Lorenzo that all the detour bridges shut down. But we're here. Merry Christmas. Joyeux Noël. Malagagne Pascal. Malagagne Pascal. All those things mean merry or joyful Christmas, because merry and joy are synonyms, right? And one of the fun things is you look at the passages that involve joy in the New Testament, there are three words for joy referring to the birth of John the Baptist. Now, when I think of John the Baptist, I don't really think of a fun guy, do you? I mean, he was a prophet. And we'll get into the text a little bit, some of the things he said. But basically, I'm not sure he hit people with a sledgehammer, metaphorically, or a knife, or a scalpel. I mean, he was pretty direct, but it was joyful. Why? Because it was God's program at work. See, joy is expressed, as most of you know, and I was reminded this morning, in putting Jesus first, others second, yourself last. But it relates to the fact that we're part of God's kingdom, and his kingdom is forever. And when God is working, we should have joy because we're in the winning side and we can see it happening in front of us. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because God is at work in us, building us up, trying to get us to be more like his son. I don't know about you, but which trial was the most fun this morning? Matthew's Bridge. Computer not working right. I was delighted that we finally, I think, fixed the printer driver, so now it works. We have a very reliable old workhorse of a copier, printer, scanner thing, but it's very old. And so when they update software on the computer systems, it's a real problem getting the drivers to match, and these middle class problems, right? They're still tough. You know, when our printer doesn't work, what a terrible thing. We have to, yeah. But I have several different passages in your notes there. Want to go through where joy in Christmas, the first Christmas. Now, as you know, there are two major Christmas stories in the New Testament. One is in Matthew, the other is in Luke. We'll be looking at Luke today, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is in your notes, but follow in your scriptures, of course. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. In the days of Herod the king. There's a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. So both of them were from the priestly families, and her name is Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. Now, back then, we sort of have this now. Infertility problems often come out of sexual misbehavior, right? They knew that back then. We know this now. Chlamydia causes a lot of women to be sterile, right? We know that. So the text emphasizes that they didn't do anything wrong, they were blameless. Did what they were supposed to do. They're both very old. Now, what is very old? I don't know. The text can mean 60, 70, 80, perhaps 50. Very old. I kind of smirk when I think about that. Very old. 50? But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been answered." His job was to pray for Israel, but he had a second prayer for his son. One of the things back then was the son, the child was your social security. They were to take care of you in your old age. They were not only to take on the family fortune, run it for you when you no longer had all your abilities, but they also would take care of you. And I remember watching some senior members of my family as they aged, they would try and put more and more things related to the responsibility of their house, their estate, their just taking care of things on their adult children. Still do that now, but back then it was even more so, and that was the security. They had no child, therefore they had no one to take care of them in their old age. Son, angel. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, verse 9, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside the hour of incense. So everyone's praying, and his prayer gets heard. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. She'll call his name John. Now, throughout the scriptures here, when it says, don't be afraid, it's not because something bad isn't going to happen. Some terrible things may happen, have happened, and will happen. But they had no reason to fear because God was with them. God is bigger than any of our problems. And we believe that. Now, you might say, well, what about when it's a printer problem? How is God with me? You might say, well, what a stupid thing to say. Some of us have very real problems, relationships, health, with different things going on, financial perhaps. God is bigger than any of our problems. He is with us. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God. The answer is God. Not that we don't have these problems. We have problems. I'm not going to deny that some of you are going through some deep waters. God does go with us in all our troubles. Don't be afraid. And you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice in his birth. Notice the three joy words. Joy, gladness, rejoice. That's for the birth of John. Why? Because God is with him. God was going to help him. He was going to be someone supernaturally empowered by God. He'll be great before the Lord. Supernaturally empowered. Must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Now this, back then, was very hard not to have anything. This wine, strong drink, was part of the Nazirite vow. Back then, so many things were related to grape. Grapes keep, so they were very productive in that climate. And so many things were involved with grape. Basically, he was becoming a social outcast. Yes, part of the Nazirite vow was not to cut your hair. So you looked a little strange. You ate very differently. You couldn't touch anything to do with a dead body or a grape. And so very much outcast in order to be a prophetic witness. Will turn many of the children of Israel to God. Now, that's the scene. And I think of poor Zechariah and Elizabeth. Why couldn't they have a baby? Well, sometimes the answer to the why questions is not yet. And we as believers are still in the not yet phase to a certain extent because not everything happens until we get to heaven, right? We're going to have better health when we get to heaven. We're finally going to have some of our problems solved when we get to glory. Sometimes the why questions are not yet. Still struggle. Why is this happening? Why is this happening now? Why do I have to go through this? Why? Well, to a certain extent, sometimes it's not yet. The question is, are we going to keep praying and keep waiting patiently? God's best. I wait. That's the scene, that's the source. And we know, through the Spirit, my wife and I were laughing about a little bit. There's an old children's song, through the Spirit, not a coconut. Through the Spirit, not a coconut, no? Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The second one, some of you have heard that one? No? Okay, yes. Anyway, so it's not really something you think at Christmas, but it is a lot of fun. Fruit of the Spirit is not a big one. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, right? So it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's based on our relationship with God that whatever we're going through is good, ultimately. Even though trials are tough, you guys are probably smirking me, and you had a hard day because you were on ether. Come on. Right? Well, you have to keep some perspective. These are middle class or first world problems. Detours, printers, scanners, software not interacting. That's a middle class problem, right? Source of joy is God. Don't be afraid. John will be a joy, delight to you because of his birth. That's three joy words. Why? Because God. Now, did John have an abrasive personality? Well, I'll let you be the judge of that. We'll bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. We'll go on before the Lord in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their parents and their children. As you know, my day job, say, inner city, on the list. So, children come to impact nuclear families. Why the children abandoned? Why did the parents not make the child more of a priority in their life? It's just sad to watch. I mean, so many, roughly 100 students. Didn't get an exact count, but I could say it's about 5%. 5%, that is, both birth parents are living with the child. When I was growing up, I used to ask kind of a hi, how are you, a little bit more intense, more conversational, getting to know the person, would say, so what did your dad do when you were born? So when did your parents split? Of the parents back to the children. Issue now and the issue today. They showed their abandonment in a different way back then. Eastern culture, I'm sorry, less Western, less European. A family marriage was more of a joining of clans than it was two people coming together. Their culture was very much clan-based. So you didn't quickly separate clans, but there still was a heart issue then, and there's a heart issue now. We certainly understand there's a heart issue now. That's very obvious. Hearts, the parents of the children, but disobedient with wisdom of the righteous. Having a good conversation, with my colleagues, and she was saying so many, she was very grieved in her spirit. She said, because of her upbringing, the way she was raised, to see how many children engage in what she called adult behavior. Well, that term always bugged me, okay? Because adults meet minds, right? They don't just function on the basis of drugs or physical passions. Hopefully a marriage is a meeting of minds, right? Where two people come together who love each other. The kids are nowhere at that level. And their use of adult chemicals, it used to grate me when I used to hear the term adult beverage referring to alcohol. A child has no business taking that stuff. Their brain is still developing. They're poisoning their brain as it's developing. Several people from the hippie movement of the 60s said that they saw this in themselves and their peers. We were taking very powerful chemicals when our brains were developing, and we had no idea what we're doing. No idea. Not just marijuana, all kinds of chemicals. Sin is shown here as stupid, disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. This is God's answer book for us. This is the owner's manual. This is what we should be living on. There's all kinds of things we can learn about how to live, and eventually we find out, good idea?
the psychologists and psychiatrists said, you know, that's a pretty good idea.
Well, guess what? It was in the Bible. It's amazing how often that happens. The wisdom of the righteous. Sin is stupid.
Why? Make the people ready.
The Lord. Now, throughout this passage, throughout Luke, babies are seen as a joyful event. You see that in Luke 1:28, Luke 1:44, which Luke 1:14, Luke 1:46, Luke 1:58, Luke 2:10. Throughout it, babies are seen as a joy. And when I think of that, you know, this shows how sick our culture is. We have a society now that does not value babies. And of course, it's been going on for a while. I remember, I just looked it up again yesterday, Elvis Presley song in the ghetto. Before you come, Elvis Presley in the ghetto, holding Great Chicago morning, another baby child is born, his mother dies. Another thing she doesn't need is another little child in the ghetto. Their culture valued children. They saw it as a hopeful thing, that God has not given up in the world, that a baby brings hope. This is the way God sends a Redeemer, as a baby, as an infant. Someone the rest of us have to care for and nurture. Question. Babies require nurturing work. God's solution is to send a son. And, of course, we're headed towards Christmas, where we're celebrating the birth of the ultimate son. God's solution is to send a baby to fix things. Are we ready to nurture and train ourselves and others? Pastor Lorenzo and I were talking about different cultural expressions of Christianity throughout the years. One of the major differences that the Western church had to deal with is they came out of course, a Jewish subculture. And the Jewish subculture was fix the world, that we are here to prepare the way for the Messiah. That's great out of scripture. Then they were dealing with Greek folks who believe they need to fix themselves first. Repent. Change yourself. And yes, both those are from scripture, but it was interesting to see the different cultural emphasis as the churches interacted with their populations. Hebrews were all about service to the community. And to a certain extent, the Greeks were more, many, not all, were Stoic-based. That is, fix yourself. Make sure your heart is right before God. And then as a changed person, then go out and serve. Stoics were all about service. But just getting those two things together. Fix the world, fix yourself, fix the world. Obviously, both are biblical. But be ready to nurture and train ourselves and others to prepare. Because God is at work and he has a plan for us, and we're part of it. We might not like our part. It may involve too many of the humble things, things that involve detours, silly things like that. Sometimes very hard things. Sometimes God is asking us to show holiness in a very hard situation. I don't want to diminish any of the things you're going through. But God is at work, and we should have joy because his plan is forever. It's good. We're part of his kingdom. But then, just to see some of the things that are going on in this text, remember, John was a guy who everyone was excited about because he was part of God's plan. Well, sometimes God's plan involves repentance. We see this in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 20. This is John now as an adult. He's the one where they had all this joy because God was with him. Well, people come to him, and he says one of the great anti-Dale Carnegie lines. He calls him a brood of vipers. Luke chapter 3, verse 7, right? Luke 3, 7. All the multitudes come to him. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came to be baptized him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So he starts off, please don't do this, Pastor Lorenzo. I don't think we'll go past the Bob. I don't know if you've ever done the sermon out that thing called people fond of serpents, brood of vipers, sons of snakes. Not the best way to begin a sermon, right? Mr. John, this is what he did. Therefore, bear fruits worthy repentance. Remember, God was with him, the Holy Spirit going before him. Verse 10. People asked him, what shall we do then? He answered,
common people. He says, someone who has two tunics, let him give the one who has none.
Now, what was a tunic back then? Well, they wore cloaks to cover everything, and then they wore underwear, which are called tunics. Now, can you tell someone wearing underwear? Well, obviously not, right? You don't see underwear. Back then, it was shameful to display your underwear. Our culture is slightly different. But we have to know somebody before we know they aren't wearing underwear. We're going to have to know them pretty well, right? We have a neighbor who's not a Christian. He keeps better tabs of our neighbors than I do. He was telling the one neighbor that, okay, I can tell they're in trouble. And I said, well, how? He said, well, they're not going to work anymore. Well, I leave early, back late. I don't see people going to work, but he does. They are going to work. And they don't have a car anymore. Now they're leasing a vehicle. How can you tell? Looks at the license plate, looks at the back. He knows the vehicle's being leased. He says, they live in a rental. They're no longer working. Now they're leasing their vehicle or renting their vehicle. And yesterday they moved out. And frankly, their furniture they threw out really, really badly. The problem is that we had Croctoberfest. Everyone came. We invited everyone on our two streets. The street I live on is quite short. We invited everyone. Some people didn't come. But we have gotten into a subculture in America where we have an attached garage. So morning, when we're ready to go, we have everything all packed up. We press the button in our garage and start our car, drive out, drive past our neighbors, drive to work, sit in our little cubicle, come home, drive past our neighbors, open the garage door, drive in, never see them. We don't know the destiny because our culture is no longer really caring about our neighbors. And that is very sad. That is where we're at. As many of you know, I teach civics. And one of the things I ask my kids, how much does it cost now to get the minimum calories required to go through a day? And I actually double-checked. I was going to bring the pound package of rice from the dollar store. Now it costs $1.25, but that's enough calories for a day and a half. Brown rice by itself, obviously, you need proteins, but brown rice by itself is $1.25. That's for a day and a half. So who's needy? Well, so often we think of the needy people as having what? Addiction problems, either alcohol or drugs, right? What did the text say? Tunic, someone has food, cure. Whoever has two tunics, verse 11, share with those who has none. Whoever has food, do so likewise. I can share just a personal story or something. It was 2003, and my younger brother came to see us in upstate New York. So he wanted to see downtown New York City, so we went down New Year's Eve day for Central Park, and someone comes up to me and says, here's some money. So my adult sons and I were there, as well as my brother. We all reach for our wallets and some money. One of my brothers, my brother, my boys, I don't know which one, said, what for? The guy said, live here. And just being sure from my son's perspective, my face went a little cold. Over there, it's 2003, so it was 19 years ago that Christmas Eve when he was heading drunk. Your younger brothers were in a full-size truck, and someone came over. It was Christmas Eve, 5:30 at night. Up north, it's quite dark, it's foggy. On their side of the road, head on, highway speeds. Well, the car jackknife, car where he was wearing his engine. That severe won't be great. So Chevy and with his truck. My three younger brothers were together, get hit on by a drunk Christmas Eve. So I shared that. He said, well, I didn't do it. Very gracious guy, very funny. My face got even colder in the sunset. He says, that's because he's dead. I said, you made it sound like you killed the guy. Well, after that, as many of you know, the way God has made us is when we are having trouble with something, help someone who's worse off. So for a long time, I did alcohol counseling. Now I don't agree with alcohol. I think I'm better. It doesn't bother me as much. I see them as fellow sinners with me. But so often, we think because a person is sinning or has sinned that we don't need to care anymore. And I'm not going to tell you you have to give money to every person who petitions you. Some Christians believe that, hey, if they're using it for alcohol or to self-abuse things, then that's on them. You've done your part. Other people say, oh, no, we should be trying to give them water. Pastor Brian, I think, said that a couple weeks ago, that we should be, maybe it was a month ago, I apologize, that we should be willing to give physical stuff like water or a snack to people who ask. Have snacks available. Other of my Christian friends always have things available in the car to give to people who are little care package things. You know, they vary. Sometimes it's socks. Sometimes it's a granola bar. Just having things available. Do I know people are? Do I care? See, Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 22 says something that was very influential in part of European Christianity. It says, I hate your feasts. And that's the passage that was so well cited by Martin Luther, let justice roll like a river, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. See, some of you may know this, my wife and I come from radically different traditions when it comes to celebrate Christmas. Okay, we'll just talk about what happened when we got to America as opposed to Europe, which is more confusing. By the beginning of December, you were no longer farming back then. And you were no longer on the seas. The winter storms were pretty nasty. And so the international sailing trade, fishing trade, etc., shut down. So people from New York City, who were primarily Dutch Calvinists, as opposed to people from Boston, who were primarily Scottish English Calvinists, celebrated Christmas quite differently. The folks in New York take a whole month from the coming of Saint Nick, which is December. They would celebrate the coming of Saint Nicholas, December 5th through 6th, either depending on when it fell in the week. And then they would celebrate Christmas all the way to what they called Epiphany, which was the coming of the three kings, and that was celebrated January 6th. So a full month of Christmas. They partied, they celebrated, they spent time with families. Well, in old Boston, they did not celebrate Christmas at all. Now, the song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Then it goes on, bring us some figgy pudding, remember that verse? We won't go until we got some. Because to a certain extent, Christmas in old England was more like Halloween, where people went around, banged on your door, wanted your very best food, and they won't go until they got some. That was what they said. We won't go until we got some. So they're a bunch of, it was sort of the Halloween tradition, sort of the, they would vandalize. And so what William Bradford, who was a Puritan leader in New England, said, yeah, you folks can celebrate Christmas as long as you don't disturb the horses. That's what he said. Don't disturb the horses. Because he had no use for celebrating Christmas at all. His thing was, look, under Amos, it says, look, make sure the poor are taken care of. So how would they celebrate Christmas during that month when the folks in New York were celebrating? They'd go around and cut wood for the widows. Now, for those of you who haven't lived in the North recently, they say three cords of hardwood for, if you have a well-insulated house of 1,000 square feet. Well, that's hardwood. Softwood, it's double. So somewhere between 3 and 8 cords. What's a cord? Well, it's a full pickup size load of lumber. That's a cord. Stacked right, you get one cord in a pickup truck. And back then, when people were burning wood, 3 and 8 cords. Now, what happens when the widow has 8 cords of wood? Well, guess what? That's a commodity. That wood is tradable. If she has it dry, she can always, if she needs something, trade it for something. Trading a wood for a meal. And back then, one of the things they used to do is bring the whole family. So the young whippersnapper wife could learn how to really cook from the old widow, who knows how to cook cheaply. So she, you know, I mean, so many people would be very grateful to have someone cook a good meal if they brought the raw ingredients. And of course, if she's a very skilled cook, and obviously if she lived long, she would have learned some things. She would know how to cook, and she can feel good about teaching that young, did I say whippersnapper wife? how to really cook. And she can feel good about herself. And of course, she's going to be warm and fed throughout the winter. How are we going to celebrate Christmas? Well, as I said, my wife and I are from different traditions. My ancestors did not celebrate Christmas. And we're now at an interesting compromise. Now we don't give stuff anymore. What we do is give experiences. So my granddaughter lives in Philadelphia, is now taking ballet at church. And my wife went up there last week to see her little, she's three. So it's not really intricate, but it was a lot of fun things, Nutcracker. So they kind of did Nutcracker sort of, and they did some steps. It was very cute. My two grandsons who live here, they're in together. It's a church-based thing where little kids learn music. And yeah, it's expensive. But my wife goes with our grandkids and they play silly songs, infant songs together. And as many of you observe, the one-year-olds really do have a sense of rhythm, so it's fun. So these children are learning to sing before they can speak. Experiences. How are we celebrating Christmas? Folks, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, right? How would you like it if you had a birthday party for you and totally ignored the things you said and did things you shouldn't do and told and spent money on stuff that you don't approve of? That we do at Christmas? Celebrate. He loves us and calls us to change the world, to change yourself, be more like Christ. Remember, God is working in all situations. When we have that sense, we can have joy. That somehow this stupid thing, this bad thing that happened, is somehow comes to me through my loving Heavenly Father, who cares very much about it, and sent me this trial, as big or small as it is, to build my character, as James chapter 1 says. Remember that God is working. That we can have joy. We're part of his kingdom. It's moving ahead. The most fundamental question is, have we repented and said we're sorry for our sins? Jesus came to save us. That is his purpose. Are we trusting him only for salvation? Fully understand, and this is part of where joy comes from, that his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us in glory, by glory and virtue. Do we remember, do we know each day that God has given all we need to thrive for good in God? That's how we can have joy. Remember, God's kingdom is forever, no matter what happens. Whether it's horrible, whether it's fine, God is working. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are good. You called us. And let us be part of your kingdom, which is forever. Help us, O God.